Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we worship you and thank you for this beautiful day. Father, we thank you that you have put us on earth at this time and such a time as this. Father, I release my faith with my brothers and sisters today for our eyes to be opened and for us to come to understanding what you have for us at this time. Lord, in the natural, it seems so difficult and it seems impossible. But Lord, when our eyes are open and we see what you see, and our ears are open and we hear what you are saying, we can enact and we can do and we can say according to your will and purposes at this time. Lord, in South Africa, you've chosen for us to be alive at this time. And so, Father, in spite of the news, in spite of the rumors, in spite of everything that goes on around us, we will have a good report. We are the bearers of the good news. And so today, Lord, as I yield to your Spirit to teach your word, I thank you that you give us insight and discernment and understanding about the renewal of the mind. And Lord, that our minds are renewed according to your will and purposes, your thoughts, so that we can manifest the kingdom of God in the earth, at this time and in this nation, so that your will can come to pass wherever you choose for us to manifest your life, your light, your love, and your glory. And we worship you and thank you in Jesus' name. This is part two of The Power of a Renewed Mind. And if you recall, last week we discussed the fact that the word glory, the glory of God, the word glory is the word doxa. And we saw that the root of that word doxa is dokeo, which means to think. The thinking process. And so we saw that the glory of God is the mind of Christ. And I explained that to you. It has to do with the mind of Christ. It has to do with the mind of Christ manifesting in us and through us. But there's a bit of work that has to take place on our side. We have to do the renewing of the mind. Jesus did not die on the place of the skull for nothing. To get a person born again, as I've said so many times before, is an easy thing. The Spirit of God has been moving upon people, especially lately. God is answering the prayers of the people for revival. So, I mean, revival is in the streets. I mean, you just go here to Centurion Mall, somewhere there, and just listen to the Spirit and walk up to somebody and say, you know, do you love God? Do you want me to pray for you? And the chances are they will say yes. And you ask them, are you saved? Are you born again? Do you know that you're going to heaven? And if they're not sure, you just lead them in a prayer. It's that easy. To get a person born again is that easy. But it's after we are born again. You see? The cross has to have its full effect in the mind. You see? And it's not just a matter of memorizing scripture. That's what some people think is the renewal of the mind. But the renewal of the mind is the renewal of the way that we think. The attitude of the mind. The thinking processes. There are roots and there are ruts in our thinking processes. We think in certain ways. If a certain situation happens to us, then there's a reaction. We have trained ourselves in a certain way. So in other words, if a taxi turns in front of us while we're driving on the road, we're supposed to bless them. But what's the first thing that comes up? We want to bless them into the sea. Okay, and that's a root. It's a habit that has been created. And we're going to go through some interesting scriptures today that, in a sense, will blow your mind. And hopefully bring us closer to a place where we actually manifest the mind of Christ. You see, we sometimes glibly say, yes, I have the mind of Christ. And I think his thoughts and I have his feelings and so on. And it's one thing to say that, but it's another thing to spend the time listening to the word, meditating the word of God, speaking it out of your mouth, thinking about it, seeing it in your mind's eye, actually seeing Jesus do the miracles, or actually seeing yourself doing something, praying for somebody, and then they get healed. You know, it takes discipline. And as we've seen before, the word disciple comes from the word discipline. Now, as I said, the renewed mind is directly connected to the glory of God. But the mind of Christ, if we can manifest that, the glory of God will manifest where we are, because we will hear God, we will speak His thoughts, we will do His actions. You see, and sometimes we look at the glory of God as this ethereal cloud that would come. But He says, Christ in us, the hope of glory. So the glory of God is within us. We're the ones that have to manifest it. And we are not like Moses, that he had to have a veil over his face. We are without the veil, so we can manifest the glory. The people couldn't stand to look at him. But we are born again, so we can look. We can see. We can see the glory of God. And the world out there, they are hungry for the glory of God. But they don't want this, again, this nebulous, super spiritual thing. And yes, the glory of God does manifest like that. Manifests in meetings sometimes as a cloud and so forth. And it's been seen on people. People have taken photographs of people, and then they develop the photos afterwards, and then you see the glory on them. But what purpose does that serve? It's just a sign and a wonder. The glory of God has to manifest in practical kingdom application and principles. Otherwise, there's no point to this. I mean, He might as well have kept us in heaven. Remember, a couple of weeks ago, we discussed the fact that we are a word spoken out of the mouth of God. We've been spoken into the earth. Why did He go to that trouble? Why? If He didn't want us to accomplish something. Just to recap, Proverbs 23, verse 6 and 7. Do not take the food of him who has an evil eye, or have any desire for his delicate meat or his dainties. For as the thoughts of his heart are, so is he. The King James says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Take food and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. So in other words, he doesn't mean. See, his actions are not the same as what his intent is in his heart. Romans 12, verse 1, 2, and 3. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's the first thing. And then he says, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. So first of all, we go to God and say, here's this body. Live in it. Let the glory of God come and live in this and manifest through it. Then the next step is the mind. Let this mind be in you. And we'll get to that scripture, which was also in Christ. Be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. You see, there's a direct connection between the way that you think and the operation of the measure of faith. And I mean, we have teachings on faith and so forth. But your faith cannot work if your mind is not involved. And don't think more highly of yourself than what you ought. Because how can you think of yourself in a certain way if your mind is not truly renewed to that? If you don't even believe of yourself as that. Don't try and act like a son of God. Don't try and act like a child of God if you deep in your most innermost being don't even believe that you're saved. I mean, I remember when I gave my life to Christ, I went to every revival meeting. I went to every Nicky van Westhuizen meeting. And I went to every evangelist that traveled the country. I mean, I would drive out my last little petrol just to go there, to go and get saved again. You know why I did that over and over? Because I didn't know what the Word said. I didn't understand that the Spirit had done a work inside of me, that the old things had passed away. All of those things had passed away, and that, behold, all things have become new. You are a new creature in Christ. I didn't know that. Until I started studying the Word, And still, I started getting to some scriptures that said, but you are born again of the Spirit, etc., etc. The Spirit of God is living within you. The Spirit of God witnesses within you that you are a child of God. And all of a sudden, and then I started realizing, but you know what? I don't have to run forward every time an evangelist gives an altar call. That pull that I feel every time is the anointing that is on the evangelist. And if you don't understand where you are at, you're going to run forward and get saved. What the Lord was saying to me then, he said, that pull that you feel, it's the Spirit of God pulling on those that are not saved. What you should do now is intercede, pray into that burden that you feel. And the moment I learned that, that pull on me stopped, and I started seeing people go in answer to prayer. I mean, I would sometimes sit in the meeting, and I could see the Spirit was dealing with somebody. And I would just start praying, just praying under my breath, and say, Lord, just unction that man. Just give him the courage to stand up. And 5 minutes, whoop, the guy gets up, and then he goes forward. And the Spirit of God would move on him. But we need to have our minds renewed so that our faith can work effectively. Now, let's look at Philippians 2, verse 5 and 6. And these were the introductory scriptures last week, except for Philippians 2, verse 5 and 6. Let the same attitude and purpose and humble mind, or just mind. See, the King James says, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. But the Amplified says this humble mind. Now, verse 3 of Romans 12 says, don't think more highly of yourself. In other words, you know what true humility is? Is to believe about yourself what God believes about you and what God knows about you. That's true humility. Some people will call that pride. But who do you think you are going there into that place over there to go and pray for those people? Who do you think you are to think that God's going to meet your needs at the end of every month? I've been told that. Why would God move on your life and not mine? What makes you so special? You know what? You're just proud. No, I've just decided to submit myself to what the Bible says about me. And some people find it offensive. Let the same attitude and purpose and mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility, who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or attained, but he stripped himself of all privileges so as to assume the guise of a servant. So, here we are. Sons of God, but what do? Do we walk around and, you know, well, you know what, I'm the chosen. Here I am, you know. No, we don't do that. We serve. We serve one another. That's what Jesus did. And it's when you start having that proper attitude of servanthood and humility. If you clothed with that cloak of humility that Rick Joyner saw when he went to heaven, he saw people that were clothed with humility because underneath they had the shining armor on. But it's when you start serving with that attitude that the nature of Christ comes, the anointing is released, the power of God is then released. But it starts with the mind. I mean, a person that is arrogant and proud. I mean, we all know the answer to that one. It's because they think of themselves in a certain way. They think they're better than other people. What is the definition of pride? What is racism? It's pride. Yes. Well, because your skin color is different from mine, I'm better than you. It's pride. Pride is simply this: I'm better than you. I know more than you, so I'm better than you. I can do things better than you. Well, you know, hey, I'm the school's rugby captain. Remember at school, if the rugby captain would start running around amongst the girls, what would happen? All the cheerleaders would follow him, and they all had the same chip on their shoulders. You know, nobody could talk to them because they were better than the rest. You see it on these TV programs, you know, with these youngsters. The girls would follow the cheerleaders. and they are allowed to sit at their tables and so forth, and the rest are beneath them. What is that? It's pride. So it starts with the mind. We saw that the mind is basically the intellectual or intelligent power in man, the understanding, the power that conceives, judges, or reasons. Then we saw the place of imagination and the role that imagination plays in Genesis 11 verse 6 and Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. In fact, let's just recap on that. Genesis 11, 6. Remember I said last time, we have forgotten how to dream. Genesis 11, 6. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And now nothing they have imagined they can do will be impossible to them." Where do you imagine? In your mind. And we just saw that the mind and faith is connected. The mind and the renewal of the mind and the glory of God is connected. So God gives you a vision. He says, plant a church or start a business. Or He gives you a patent. He gives you an invention. So guess what? There's an imagination. There's a plan that comes. Okay? And then you start applying your faith to that. And the next thing that happens is it manifests. So you build this super duper engine that runs on water. And it blesses mankind. And the glory of God is manifested. And so then we go to Jenny and say, "Jenny, this water driven engine, how did you do that?" And you say, "Well, God gave me the idea." Wow. And it's blessing all these people. So how's the glory of God manifested? Through people not having to pay through their ears for fuel at the petrol station. You see, so the manifestation of the glory of God is not necessarily this cloud. It's the glory of God. It's the children of God manifesting His kingdom practically. And that becoming attractive to the people out there. But it has to do with the imagination. And Joshua 1:8 we saw also. See and do. And speak. What I want to discuss today are the different types of mindsets. There are different kinds of mindsets, or the different types of the mind that the Bible speaks about. Some of the references I'm just going to give to you, and you can get the CD and then go and look them up. But some of them we will actually read the verses. Romans 1 verse 28 talks of a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind is not a good thing. A reprobate mind is a mind that where the conscience has been seared. You're actually not hearing the voice of the Spirit. You're not even hearing the voice of your own conscience anymore. 1 Timothy 6 verse 5 speaks about a corrupt mind. And I think if we look around us in the world today, we can see a lot of corrupt minds making decisions on our behalf. And what does it cause? Corruption and death. Genesis 26 verse 35 speaks of a mind of bitterness and grief. Deuteronomy 28 verse 65 speaks of a sorrowful mind. Let's look at a willing mind. 1 Chronicles 28 verse 9. This is not my Bible, hey? 1 Chronicles 28 verse 9. 1 Chronicles 28, 9. We're speaking of a willing mind. One Chronicles 28:9. And here the these and the thous now. "And thou, Solomon, my son," I'll just change it, "and you, Solomon, my son, know you the God of thy father, and serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. Do you see that? Heart and mind. Remember, I said repentance is of the heart and the mind. So serve God with the heart and the mind, but a willing mind. You know, many times we do stuff, and because our flesh is still in the way, we don't have a willing mind. If we are willing and obedient, the word says, we will what? We will eat the good of the land. He says, serve God with a perfect heart, or pure heart, and a willing mind. There's nothing more powerful. It's the power of agreement again. Remember, where two or three shall agree. And we've taken that verse and said, okay, if Jenny and Shaman and I, if the three of us agree. But you know what? If I'm not in agreement within myself, if my heart is not pure and my mind is not renewed, I'm not even in agreement with myself. Now, if you're not in agreement with yourself and Charmaine's not in agreement with herself within herself, now how are we going to pray for Jill's breakthrough? I'm not in agreement with myself. And sorry, guys, it takes discipline. It's not an easy thing. I still have that. I mean, I've been doing this for more than 30 years, and I still have my heart shouting against my head and my head shouting against my heart. No. We don't like that. This is uncomfortable. And I've got to speak to one of them and say, shut up in Jesus' name. And I have shouted at the top of my voice. And I've told Cara, she's battled with that at times. I said, scream at yourself. Then go stand in front of the mirror and point your finger and say, shut up in Jesus' name, until it shuts up. How many times have you sat in the morning or whenever you wait on God, and now you've prayed, maybe you've worshipped and so on, and then you just sit and wait on God, and guess what happens? Yes, I've got to go to the post office, and I've got to, the tire, they start coming. Before you know it, man, there you are. You're already at the Pick and Pay, you're busy shopping, and that's where I learned. I said, now do this. Shut up. But I don't stop there. I say, think on Him who is good and pure and lovely and of a good report and who is righteous, just, and all of those things. I think it's in Philippians, that scripture. I tell my mind that. And if 5 minutes later it happens again, guess what I do? Mind, think on Him who is good and pure and lovely and of a good report, faithful and just, honest and true, all of those things. And His name is Jesus. Mind, tell me what's His name? Jesus. I mean, it's like dealing with a kid. But let me tell you something. This thing, it will run amok if you don't take control of it. It's like a dog without a leash. Okay, Solomon my son, or Jan my son, or Julia my son, or Chris my son, know the God of thy father, serve Him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. There you go. See, on the previous CD, I went extensively, remember last time, into the imaginations, imagining things. God gives a vision. And don't let people tell you to imagine things as New Age. I mean, why do we still have an imagination then? He would have surely taken it away the moment we got born again. The biggest dreamer is God. He's got to be, because if He looks at us, He's got to have a dream. He searches the heart, which must be perfect or pure, and He understands the imaginations of the thoughts. So He can see the pictures in your mind. He might not agree with them, but if we will allow the Spirit of God to come with the Holy Spirit paintbrush and paint His picture, nothing is impossible to him that what? Believes. Believes what? That which he sees the Lord showing him. The mind is very powerful. The mind is a very important tool in following God and walking by faith. If you seek Him, He will be found. But if you forsake Him, He will cast you off forever. Interesting. I mean, there's so much just in that one verse. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 12. We're talking about the power of a renewed mind. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man has, and not according to that what he has not. The point is, for if there is first a willing mind, and he's discussing things about willingness and people wanting to do things and so forth, and zeal and other things. For if there is first a willing mind, what do we do also with the mind? We make decisions. You've probably heard me say, make a quality decision. Where do I make that quality decision? I make it in my mind, but it doesn't just stay in my mind. My mind and my heart have to be in agreement. The two of them have to make that quality decision together so that we get back to that point where there's agreement. Otherwise, I've got this here from behind my belly shouting at my head, you know, yum, all this, no, no, no. Or this one shouting at, you know, what I have in my heart. Those two have to be in line with the Word of God. If in your life you have this argument going on, the Spirit of God lives within your spirit. That's where your heart is, right? And if there's no agreement, I would suggest go and find out what you're thinking. Go and find out if the renewal of your mind is to the extent of what God wants. Because sometimes we can dream up something, because we have that ability. You can dream up whatever. You can dream it up, but it's not necessarily God. It's a good thing, but it might not be a God thing. Remember, we discussed the tree of the knowledge of good and evil last time, and the tree of life. It might be something from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Good. So we dream up something good, but it's the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and that tree produces what? Flesh and death. It's not the tree of life. And sometimes it's difficult to discern that. That's why it's important to renew our minds with the Word. But a willing mind will go far. God can do something with that. God doesn't want to break your will. If you've ever prayed that prayer, Lord, please break my will, repent big time. He cannot use a person with a broken will. Have you ever seen a person with a broken will? I have seen people with broken wills. They come out of war situations and so on. You can do nothing with them. They are broken. The person is broken. They normally end up in a psychiatric home or something. They cannot make a decision for themselves. That is not what God wants. He wants a yielded will. I mean, would you say that Paul the Apostle was pretty strong-willed, especially because he was about 5 foot tall and he had short man syndrome and all of that stuff? So he would tend to butt against the system a little bit, and you could see he was short-tempered sometimes. He was had a short fuse at times. So if you read, you know, about some of the things he said. But you know what? He took that will and he just submitted it to God. Don't pray, Lord, break my will. No. He doesn't want a broken will. He wants a yielded will. He wants the emotions. He wants all of your faculties yielded to him. And he wants it sanctified and renewed by the Word and the Spirit of God. Not broken. Nehemiah 4 verse 6 says this about the mind. It talks about a mind that is willing to work. Nehemiah 4 verse 6. We're talking about a mind willing to work. So we built the wall. We know the story of Nehemiah with the wall, and they basically had the sword in one hand and the trowel in the other hand. So we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. And remember, they rebuilt that thing in a record time. Why? Because they had a mind to work, a willing mind. Anika and I were discussing with the family last night a situation where a building foreman arrives. They can't get hold of him until about 10 or 11, and they cannot understand why the work is behind. Because if the building foreman only arrives at 10 or 11, or his phone only goes on at 10 or 11, then surely the workers that arrive at 7 are not going to do anything until 11. Right. So who's the one that doesn't have the mind that is willing to work? the building foreman, because the other guys are there at 7. They are willing to work, but they need to be led in that. So if we have a mind that is willing to work, we can accomplish great things. And again, it has to do with a decision. I mean, let's face it. Our houses here in South Africa are not really built for the cold weather, like in overseas countries. And I mean, it gets very cold here. It gets as cold as in some foreign countries. And so guess what we have to do in the morning? We have to get up and have a mind that is willing to work and do what is required. And especially now with the electricity crisis, guess what? We don't have the heaters on. And my office, whether it is summer or whether it's winter, no sun comes to that. It's on the southernmost tip of our house. And it is very cold. So guess what? Every hour on the hour, we go outside and we go sit in the sun. Well, I at least go and do that. But it's a willing mind to work. Psalm 31 verse 12 speaks of being out of mind. Proverbs 21 verse 27 speaks of a wicked mind. 21:27. Proverbs 21:27 speaks of a wicked mind. Proverbs 29:11 speaks of a controlled mind. And let's discuss that one. Proverbs 29 verse 11 speaks of a controlled mind. A fool utters all his mind, but a wise man keeps it in till afterwards. See, it doesn't use necessarily the word control there. But a wise man keeps it in until afterwards. Afterwards what? Because he first thinks about it. He first works through it. And then he gets together with his multitude of counselors, because the Proverbs also says there is wisdom in the multitude of counselors. So he keeps his mouth shut and says, okay, listen guys, this is what's been said. That's what that guy just said. He spoke his mind, you know, and we have the saying in the modern times now, you know, just speak your mind, you know. Well, I'm going to speak my mind anyway. I don't know, whatever, you know. And we live to regret that many times. But the wise man is going to keep it in until afterwards. So we say, listen, this problem that we have here, that what was said over there, this is my feeling about it. Do you agree with it or don't you? Do you think it's in line with the Word of God? Do you think this is in line with God's purposes? And then we say yes or no. If we say yes, then what do? We all adjust our thinking and our hearts and our attitude towards that. So we control ourselves, control them, what we think and how we react. A fool utters all of his mind, all the rubbish. But a wise man keeps it in until afterwards. Isaiah 26 verse 3 speaks of a steadfast mind. Isaiah 26 verse 3. I have lots of notes here in this Bible. Isaiah 26 has been marked deeply. Isaiah 26 verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Think of the times where you've had turmoil, fear, and those kind of things going around in your heart. It's a situation that you've confronted, that you've encountered, where your mind was not renewed, and so your mind was not focused on him. What did not happen at that time, from your heart, a scripture didn't just jump into your mind and say, well, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. The perfect love of God drives out all fear, etc., etc., etc. Let the peace of God be the umpire in your heart, etc., etc. So you're confronted with something and you're caught off guard, and guess what? Fear. Why? Because through the eye gate, through the ears, information comes. And what happens? Creates fear. But if the mind is renewed, if the mind is stayed upon him, it will not move you. Because of my flying training, and because of the situations that I encountered as a pilot, and because of the physical training, the rigors that we had to go through physically, the survival training, and having to live in the veld with no protection, just an overall, and it would rain and you would freeze and you have no food and sometimes no water, and you know, just roughing it out there, not being able to bath, and all of those things. You know, one would think, oh, it's so terrible. But you know what? I thank God for that. Because certain situations that have come towards me in life, because of the discipline that I learned not to react to situations in fear or disgust or whatever it is, things would come my way and I would just handle it in peace. Because God took all those things and He brought perspective in my life. And the one thing that I saw is that my mind was disciplined. I remember they would send us on these route marches down the west coast. We would have to cover like 60 kilometers overnight, and then they keep you awake during the day, and then you walk 60 kilometers on the beach, and it would rain. You cannot see your hand in front of your eyes. You're so dog tired that when the guy says, okay, 3-minute break, you don't sit down nicely. You just fall over. I never thought one could do that. I did. And I got so tired that I would look at the waves of the sea, and they would become these big tsunamis. They would be massive, and I would look at these things and I think, oh, something's going to happen to us. And then I would take control of myself and look, and you just see the faint whiteness of the waves. And then we walk again, and we get so tired and so tired, and you look again. And I at one time saw battleships. The whole ocean had battleships with cannons focused on us. And eventually I noticed that everybody, we were not walking close to the water anymore. We were walking close to the dunes. Because I think everybody had these kind of things. They would look at the water and they would have an hallucination. The mind was starting to play games. I remember looking at that way again, and I saw blocks of flats, apartments, with the lights on, with people looking at me through the windows, all of those things. It looked like that, and I would look away and look again, and it would be gone. Now, I could have chosen to go completely crazy. But I chose to ignore that and say, this is what we're going to do. We are going to arrive at our destination, and I'm going to be fine. This too will pass. And it passed after a week. After having to row down the Berg River on 4 44-gallon drums with a couple of planks with 25 people on. So not everybody could lie down or sit down at the same time. You had to take turns to stand and sit. It was a mental exercise. You had to discipline yourself. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Perfect peace. It's possible. There's that place in Christ, in the mind of Christ, where nothing will move you, because you are founded on the rock. Not just in your spirit, but also in your mind. Ezekiel 23 verse 17 speaks of an alienated mind. In fact, it's Ezekiel 23 verse 17, verse 18, verse 22, and verse 28 speaks of an alienated mind. Daniel 5 verse 20 speaks of a hardened mind. You see, all of these things can be applied to this, the heart of man, the spirit of man as well. Habakkuk 1 verse 11 speaks of a changed mind. Matthew 22 verse 37 speaks of a mind that loves God. Let's have a look at that. Matthew 22 verse 37. Jesus said unto him, you will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So don't tell me the mind is not involved with loving God. And we have similar scriptures to that, Mark 12 verse 30 and Luke chapter 10 verse 27 speaks about the fact that we have to love God with the mind. How would we do that? 10:27, Luke 10:27. How would we love God with the mind? We'd first of all meditate upon the word. We would think upon the word. And we would honor God with the thoughts that we think, the way we think, the way we imagine, the way we think of Jenny. Okay? So Jenny comes in here. I like you because you're so tolerant. So I always pick on you. Come in here and maybe we have a difference of opinion. We make peace, right? But guess what? I drive off on my own and then what happens? It always comes back. And so then I can choose right there and say, well, you know what? I'm never going to make myself vulnerable like that again. Or I can say, no, you know what, Lord? None of us are perfect. Jenny's not perfect, but neither am I perfect. I will just love her. I will be kind to her. In fact, when next time I see her, Lord, I'm going to trust for a word for her. I'm just going to bless her. And that's the choice I make. That is how I love God with my mind, because that's where it mills. What keeps us awake in the middle of the night? We lie there, and guess what? It's like a movie theater. I mean, it's just all these pictures that start running. And I mean, they're not good pictures. I think most of our movies that we have like that, it will be worse than some of the horror movies that are on circuit. Okay? And it's a choice. And we say, I will not imagine that. I will not allow that. I will not dream that. I will not think that. I will worship you with my mind. I will love you with my mind. And listen, it's not easy. If anybody tells you this Christian thing is easy, they don't know what they're doing. Mark chapter 5, verse 15. Mark chapter 5, verse 15. It speaks of a right mind. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, but they were frightened when they saw the man who had been demon-possessed, for he was sitting there fully clothed and perfectly sane. I believe the Amplified says he was in his right mind. And in his right mind, the Amplified says the right mind. A sane mind, in other words, perfectly sane. A sane mind. You see, the demon possession was directly connected to what was happening in his mind. A friend of mine said years ago, he said, you know, with these role-playing games that you can now play on TV and stuff, and you get this little helmet that you put on, and you're actually part of the game. You're inside the game. And he said to me, you know what? That's probably going to be the greatest tool in the hand of the enemy to get our young people demon-possessed. Because they become part of the game. You're in that game. I've never played it. I like playing some games on my computer, but I just like simple games. Maybe it's just because I'm a simple guy, but some of these games are complicated, and it's at a point now where they put these helmets on, and it's 3D, and you're actually in there, and you're actually shooting people and killing people and doing all sorts of stuff. And then they have, in some of these Dungeons and Dragons and so on, they have these creatures that you now attack with your spiritual forces and with your magic wands and all of those things. And it gets so inside of them that that's what they become. I can't remember where it was. We were visiting somebody, and a little five-year-old boy, and this guy would play on a computer. He was very clever. And so somebody said to him, okay, so do you like food? Yes. So how do you eat your food now? I put it into the portal. And that's how he spoke of his mouth. So can you imagine how he thought of his own physical body? I mean, ports and whatever. Luke chapter 8, verse 35. The mind is powerful. So a renewed mind is extremely powerful. Luke chapter 8, verse 35. That's again the same scripture, but just in Luke. A crowd soon gathered around Jesus, for they wanted to see for themselves what had happened. And they saw the man who had been possessed by demons sitting quietly at Jesus' feet, clothed and sane, or in his right mind. You renew your mind with the word of God, you will become sane. Am I saying that we're insane if we're not renewed with the word of God? I tell you, if we don't have the mind of Christ, we don't actually think like somebody who's really sane. You think in fleshly, carnal, worldly terms. And if you let that go far enough, just look around us. Yeah. But that which is mad in our eyes, that which is sick in our eyes, what's happening in society? No, it's just my alternative style of life. I choose to live like that. It feels good for me. If it feels good, do it. That's what they say. But compared to the mind of Christ, it's insanity. Because what is the fruit of it? What is the result of it? Is death. It's death and destruction. It's all about self, and it hurts people. There's no love in it. And while I'm talking about love, we renew our minds because we love God, and because we love one another, and because we want the love of God to manifest. How can I truly love you if I don't think in the way that Christ thinks? So I won't think of you like that. If I think of you in terms of the way that Christ thinks of you, what's going to come out of my heart towards you? I'm going to look past all of your mistakes. I'm going to look past your exterior. I'm going to look past all the memories I have of you, whatever it is, and I'm just going to look and love you. Let this mind be in you as it was in Christ. Luke 12 verse 29 says we can have a doubtful mind. And that will directly affect how your faith works. That's why I say, you know, we've got CDs running, the same CD running over and over, scriptures playing. Until I get it. And after I've gotten it, I still play it some more. And I speak it out. That's what must come out of me. When I take a sponge that's been wet with water and I squeeze it, what comes out of it? Water. If I'm that sponge, when I am under pressure, when I am in life's circumstances, and the pressures come, what must come out of me? The life of God, the presence of God must come out of me, not some other thing. I must be so soaked up and full of the Spirit of God and His Word that that's what comes out of me. A doubtful mind, Luke 12, 29. Bible says we can have a ready mind. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. A ready mind. I know we're going through a lot of scriptures, but I found it such a blessing just to look at some of these things. A ready mind. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Let's read from verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Do you hear that? These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and he gives the reason, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Who made their minds ready? They made the minds ready themselves. They were more noble. They understood that they needed to think about these things, because if you see further there, and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. So they didn't just say, and well, you know, old Pete says that, and okay, it's just how it is. I expect you guys to take my CDs and then go and read up what I say. Go and study. Go hear it for yourself from God as well, because I believe I hear it from God. So I ready my mind. I can set my mind against something. No, I don't believe that guy is from God. I don't believe that that person can hear from God. And they may be a legitimate person, legitimate minister of the gospel, but if I don't have a ready mind to receive from them, I won't. And therefore, if I don't have a ready mind, then what won't I do? I won't research it further. I won't think about it. I won't meditate and then be edified and blessed by it, and ultimately Christ being formed in me and having the mind of Christ. Acts 17, verse 11. Actually, the New Living Translation, yeah, I see now the parallel here. I get it now. The New Living Translation says, "And the people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures day after day to check up on Paul and Silas to see if they were really teaching the truth." That's good. But it starts with a readiness of mind. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 19. says, let's read from verse 18. "And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with his grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord, and a declaration of your ready mind." You see, a ready mind. Yeah. Open-minded, as that previous one said. But when I say open-minded, it's not just a blank thing that somebody, you know, like New Ages now, you know, there you sit in the lotus position and, you know, the little life energy, two fingers together and all that. Now, and clear your mind. No. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not the openness of mind. Openness of mind is you're prepared to think about these things. Think upon things. Bible says we can have a humble mind. We've touched on some of it earlier on, but let's have a look at it. A humble mind. Acts chapter 20, verse 19. Acts chapter 20. Verse 19. Read from verse 18. "And when they were come to him, he said unto them, You know from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, etc." Humility of mind. Bible says we must have a humble heart, but we must also have a humble mind that will submit. The mind is the seat of the will, emotions. It's the soul. The soul contains the mind, the will, and the emotions. But that's the area. The mind. That's where the will is. So if the mind can be humble, then surely the will is going to be humble. Why does the will have to be humble? Because Romans 12 verse 1 and 2 says, as we are transformed by the renewing of our minds, we will discern what is the acceptable and the good and the perfect will of God. And I think it's first the acceptable will of God, because that will says, yeah, well, you know, oh, that's a little bit tough, you know. But then humility of heart and mind. Then it becomes, you know, this is starting to sound good as we start submitting the will. And eventually, no, this has got to be the will of God. This is the perfect will of God, and we start walking in it. Didn't he make us amazing? I mean, this Bible tells you exactly how to handle the human being. It's a handbook. It's like a car handbook. I mean, when we got the order, I looked at that handbook and I said, "No, well, Sasha, you need to look at it." Because, I mean, it's a thick thing like this. It looks like the handbook I used to have when I flew aeroplanes. Humble mind. Colossians 3, verse 12. Colossians 3, 12. From verse 11. "Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God." Who are the elect? We are. "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, or mercies, it says here, kindness, and humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. Humbleness of mind. Put on humbleness of mind. Scripture says to us, put on Christ. Put on the armor of light. Put on the armor. It says, put on humility. Where would you do that? It's got to have to be in the mind. Let's look at the Living Translation. Since God chose you to be the holy people whom He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Okay, the King James talks about the humbleness of mind. All right, the last scripture is Romans 7, verse 23. And I've got it nicely underlined, and got a little asterisk there. So it must be important. And it speaks of the law of the mind. Did you know that there's the law of the mind? The Bible tells us that there is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. But then there is the law of the mind. Romans 7, verse 23. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. Does that not bring a different picture into this whole thing? There is a law of the mind, and it's the flesh that wars against the law of the mind. Remember, I've said many times, you know, we've done all this warfare stuff and jumped up and down and did the drums and the dancing and the flags and all of that stuff. You know what? And we call that warfare. But we've borrowed stuff from the Old Testament. The warfare that we have now is the members of my flesh warring against the law of my mind. That's the warfare. And we've made it this external thing. I'm not saying we can't worship God and stuff like that. But you know what? Just what we've read today, if we can just grasp that, a whole lot of the supposed warfare and stuff is not going to be necessary. And by the way, I didn't hear once here, you know, the devil coming and doing stuff there. No. I have to renew my mind. It's the way I perceive it. It's the way I think. It's the mind of Christ. I mean, I see Jesus walking into a situation and then somebody, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And what does he do? Shut up and come out. Ah, boom, and they're out. I don't see all this stuff. I don't see a lot of the stuff that we do in the church. And you must understand, he worked and moved and operated as an Old Testament prophet. The New Covenant only started after he was crucified. Up until that time, up until where Jesus goes to the cross, is Old Testament. Doesn't start at Mark 1 and stuff like that. That's still Old Testament. Think about it. Where he teaches his disciples how to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, etc., etc. And I'm sure we actually do have it here. And I'm not saying you can't use that. But he says, for instance, that we must ask him that the kingdom must come. But where is the kingdom now? It's right here. So do we pray, Lord, let your kingdom come? No, I think we should pray, Lord, let your kingdom manifest. Let us have the wisdom and the chutzpah and the courage and the insight and the resources to manifest the kingdom, because it's now here. I'm not changing scripture. We just need to get perspective on these things. Okay. Romans 7:23. I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. The law of my mind. That law of my mind must be renewed, surely, to the law of the mind of Christ. I don't know if there is such a thing. I'm just projecting here. Because if there is a law of my mind, and he says I must have the mind of Christ, surely then there must be something like the law of the mind of Christ, a way of thinking. So if the law of my mind is renewed according to the mind of Christ, then that is superior, that is above, that is over It is higher in authority than the law of sin in my members. And then who's going to submit? The members. And then we have the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then when with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. But with the mind of Christ, that submits automatically. All right, we will continue next time. We will look there at the carnal mind, the mind of the Spirit, the mind of the Lord, the renewed mind, united mind, mind of Christ, fervent mind, forwardness of mind, vain mind, lowly mind, etc. So there's something to look forward to. And some more. And a third page on the notes. Father, we worship you. Thank you that you have given us the mind of Christ. Father, we thank you that not only do we have the mind of Christ, but by the power of your Spirit and through the Word, through the anointed Word, the mind of Christ becomes a reality, comes into manifestation in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives. And we thank you that as a result, we will see the glory of God, Christ in us, the hope of glory. We will see the glory manifest amongst and upon your people. In Jesus' name. Amen.